Turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4, please. Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to read the context for our purposes today, and we're going to be focusing on the end of chapter 4. As you very well know, and maybe you are weary of it at this point, but Paul has been very heavy-hitting in the last several verses, as he has been bringing up some very specific areas where Christians were struggling, where they had the need to put off the old man, to be renewed in the spirit of their mind, and to put on the new man. I'm going to just review that context today, and then Paul will begin to transition in a different direction. But let's pick up in verse 20, Ephesians chapter 4, and verse 20. Now, I believe in active reading. What do I mean by that? As I read, I want you to be reading along, and I want you to be thinking about what you read. You might say, Pastor, that's obvious, that's reading. Well, how many of you have read something and not remembered what you've read? Right? It's pretty easy to do, isn't it? How often in school did we say we read something, but we didn't remember a word of it? But we made it through every page, didn't we? Oh, yeah, I remember knowing that. Active reading. Here's what I want you to do as you read. And again, Apostle Paul is going to be plowing the soil of our hearts here. I want you to make mental notes of, how am I doing in this area? Because several areas are going to be brought up, specific things, and we've talked about most of them. We've spent time at length on them. Ask your God, how am I doing with this anger, or with telling the truth, or being honest and not stealing, those kinds of things. How am I doing with it? Ask yourself this question. Pay attention to the pricks of the Spirit. When you hear a certain word that is read and your spirit goes, ugh, pay attention to that. Realize, you know what? Maybe God's drawing your attention to something. And you know what? That's the work of God. And don't be ashamed of it. Be happy that God's alive and well in you. But do something. Do something about that. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. All right, so active reading, all right, verse 20. But you have not so learned Christ, if so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you, with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Be ye therefore followers of God, as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. I'm going to stop there. A while back, in fact, it was back in May, we had a special speaker come, and he was preaching and he preached on this text. As a result of that message, God began working in the heart and life of an individual. And this person had some very profound, difficult things that they needed to work through in their heart. They had some difficulties in some relationships. And the things that had been boiling up inside of this individual's heart had been there for 50 plus years. I want you to know that God did a mighty work in that person's life. And some weeks later, I received this poem, and I want to share it with you this morning. The title of the poem is May 8th, 2013. And just by a background, that is the very day that God broke through into this person's life and gave him victory. Victory over the anger and the bitterness that overwhelmed their hearts. This is an incredible testimony of the power of God. May 8th, 2013. I've been walking down a sad and lonely road carrying my heavy load. My smile long ago is turned to a frown, my eyes to the ground, cast down. Year after year on this road I go, heavier and heavier the burdens get. What I should do, I know, but I keep saying, not yet. Hurting people hurt other people, a preacher said one day. Those words were meant for me. I needed my hurt to go away. Looking up ahead, what is that red? Can that be the blood Jesus on Calvary shed? I run to the blood-stained cross and I lay my burdens there. I bow my head before God and pray. I forgive and need forgiveness, I say. Thank you, God, for letting me come to you today to lay my burdens down and walk away. Your blood covers the burdens I carried for so long. When Satan tries to make me pick up my burdens again, help me in you to be strong and to say to him, no way. I am free, free to be what you want me to be, a vessel for others to see your love through me. My heart is lighter, my smile is brighter. My burdens were lifted by nail-scarred hands. The hands belong to Jesus. He understands. My road is now not sad and lonely. Jesus is walking by my side. He is my guide. And then the individual put Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. I share that with you because God is at work. God is at work in changing lives and changing my life and your life, and he does it through the power of his precious word. The text we're going to focus on is verses 31 and 32 in chapter 4 of Ephesians this morning. And I want you to notice this has got quite a list in it. Quite a list of some difficult things to swallow. Some things that, quite frankly, are very easy for us as people to hide beneath the disguise of a Sunday morning routine. I am not naive to the point or the fact that Sunday morning quite possibly could be considered the most hypocritical day of the week, as so often we can come to church and appear happy and appear well when in our hearts are broken, our hearts are angry or bitter or whatever the case might be. That is a crippling fact to the Church of Christ these days, that we have wounded people acting like healthy people. But the reality and the truth is this, that God is at work in helping us grow in Him and helping us to deal with our struggles and our sin so that we might walk in wholeness and that we might be accurate depictions of Christ's love. Look at the text, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Notice verse 31 is very negative, isn't it? It's negative. 32 is very positive. I believe God inspired His Word in specific order for reasons, and so we're going to tackle verse 31 and look at these negative things that the Apostle Paul draws out. Bitterness. When I say the word bitterness, I wonder what comes to your mind. Do you know a bitter person? Do you know someone who is bitter in their heart? How do you know that they're bitter? A bitter person is often characterized by critical speech. Speech that is sharp. In fact, the Greek word has this idea of piercing, an idea of sharpness with it. And so bitterness is this idea of being critical and harboring resentment in one's heart. I don't have to tell you that it is difficult to fellowship with a bitter individual. I think we know that. Unless, of course, I'm bitter myself. Now think about that for a moment. If you got one bitter person with another bitter person, you pretty much, you're going to have a bitter fellowship. And people are going to get hurt. Now this passage comes across as an imperative. Let all bitterness, and then you got the list of things, and then you get to the verb, be put away from you, be removed from you. That's the verb, and it's put across as an imperative with a thrust of Christian believer, this is something that needs to be removed from your life. We as individuals must not carry around a bitter and critical spirit. I've dealt with this in my life, as probably most of us have. You've been sinned against, you've been offended, something hasn't gone your way, and it's so easy to fall into the bitterness. It can happen as a parent to my child. My child breaks something that is precious to me. It's very easy, to be bitter against that person as you see that broken thing laying there on the floor. My most recent episode, and I can be honest with you, my most recent episode of dealing with bitterness was really an eye-opener for me. I had been offended. I'm going to be vague on purpose to save identity here, but I had invested time and my life into an individual, and it was rejected, or at least I thought it was rejected. It didn't go across, didn't go the way I thought it was supposed to go. I'll put it that way. All right. Notice I'm looking at me here. Okay, so. But I'm just, I began to be bitter. Every time I saw this person, was with this person, I didn't want to be with them. Didn't want to talk to them, didn't want to look at them. Yes, that's right. I didn't even want to look at them. I'm ashamed to say it, but that's true. Okay? Didn't want to even look at them. And God just worked in my heart to the point where this is not okay. This does not belong. This is not an accurate depiction of the love of Christ. And notice, that's why I read verses 1 and 2 of chapter 5, because what does it say? Walk in love. And I had to come to a point where I had to do two things. First of all, I had to come to the Lord and confess my sin of bitterness. Confess my sin of, God, you know where I'm at and how I'm feeling and what I'm dealing with. You know how I am hurt. And honestly, I was hurt, yes. I was hurt. And God knows that. But I had to confess my bitterness as sin, because that is sinful, wrong, to harbor that critical spirit, resentment. And the second thing I needed to do, and this took me several weeks to accomplish, so I confessed this to God, but then there was several weeks, maybe months, I can't remember exactly, months before I did the second thing, is I needed to go and talk with this individual. And I just needed to confess to them the way I had been acting toward them was wrong. Because I believe they probably could tell that I was cold to them. Oh, I did my best to put on a nice front. And, you know, I can act. I acted in high school. I can do that. I think you can too. And sometimes, you know, we need to realize life's not about acting. Life is about being true to who you are in Christ. And I had to go and I had to confess to this individual my sin. And I had to say, what I was doing was wrong. Will you forgive me? Didn't change the situation, didn't change the heart or whatever. But you know what? I took care of my side as far as my side of the relationship and said, you know what? This was where I was wrong. I am extending myself to you. And so now this individual knows that if anything, you know, happens, they can come to me. And that I'm not harboring that bitterness anymore. Am I tempted to again? Absolutely. I'm tempted to pick it up. Like that poem says, you know, Satan will come back and bring things back up again. And, you know, you're going to be tempted to have that happen again, and you just need to put it down. What's the truth? I am forgiven, and I have sought forgiveness and been forgiven by God and by the individual. That's the truth. I'm going to walk on. Don't believe the lie that Satan will bring back to your mind and say, oh, you didn't do it right, or you were insincere, or whatever. No. Cling to the truth and walk on and live in truth. So, bitterness. Don't let it be a part of your life. I once heard someone say this, and I've said this to you before, but bitterness is the poison that you drink hoping the other person will die. You know what? Bitterness hurts you much more than the other person. You know what? How often would the other person even feel anything? The relationship's already struggling, and your bitterness, what is that accomplishing? It's just poisoning your spirit. And dear ones, listen, we are the church of Jesus Christ, and we need to have spirits that are whole and true before Him. And if we go out of this place walking around with bitterness, what kind of picture is the world going to get of Christ? Let all bitterness be put away from you, removed from you. What else does it say? Wrath and anger. Now, I struggle because it seems like Paul's just using two synonyms here, and these two words are very close, but the best way that I can describe them is the first word, wrath, could be a word for angry passions. It's an expression of anger. We many times could consider a temper. In other words, when there is an anger that comes out in a passion, with a powerful force. The second kind of anger is more of just a disposition of anger that's kind of just boils up within you. We've already talked about anger. We know that we are not to be people of anger. We know that there is a right place for anger, but it is not something that is to be carried on and a way of life for us. Let all wrath and anger be put away from you. Are you known as an angry person? That should not be as a follower of Jesus Christ. Does your family know you as an angry person? That should not be as a follower of Jesus Christ. And anger needs to be removed from you. And I want you to recognize something as we go through this list. You need God's Spirit to accomplish these things. Okay? Don't try these things on your own. Don't just try to drum up all your self-will and say, I'm not going to be angry today. Because you will. You've got to rely on God to help you. You've got to develop that relationship with God so that He is close, because you never know when something's going to make you snap or want to snap, right? You don't plan for that. You don't wake up in the morning and say, I'm going to be angry today. No. But some things just come at you. What do you do to equip yourself? Be in God's Word. Know your God and be close to Him. So when those things happen, your initial reaction is not to snap, but it's, oh, God, help me. Help me. All right, so let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor. Again, very, very close. This has to do with outbursts, crying out. It's actually a word used for the call of a raven in the Bible, but it's an outburst. It's loud, and it can very well be associated with your anger, and your angry outbursts should not be part of your life. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking. We might better know this as slander. In other words, speech that comes out of our mouth with the purpose and intent to hurt other people. That ought not to be. That should not be a part of our lives. So these things are to be removed. Okay? Remember the context, put off the old man, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Well, that's what God's doing right now. Okay? Because God's truth is coming out from His Word. God's truth is coming into your hearts, and you need to allow that truth to work in your life. And that's the renewing process of God's Spirit. And then you put on the new man. Well, what is that? Well, the Bible's telling you. The Bible's going to tell you here. Put it on. It's based in righteousness and true holiness. All right. And then this passage, let it be put away from you with all malice. Malice is basically a word that kind of summarizes all of these things as those things that are evil. Evil intentions. All right? So evil intentions are not to characterize a Christian, are they? No. They shouldn't be a part of our lives. And so these things, these bitterness, anger, and wrath, and evil speaking and clamor, they're what characterizes someone with evil intentions, and should not be within the church. Now, it sounds like I'm a parent saying, no, you bad, you shouldn't do that. But I want you to realize this is God's Word here today. All right? This is not me. This is God's Word coming to us today. Now, that's the negative. That's the heavy. Here's the gracious. The gracious is this. But be ye kind, be ye kind one to another. Now, we just talked about bitterness and anger and wrath and clamor and evil speaking, and all this stuff is just heavy, heavy for our souls. We don't like those things to be a part of our lives. We don't like to be around people with those kind of attitudes and actions. What kind of life does this word kindness breathe into you? Huh? Just listen to it. Kindness. If you're like me, I've get these visual displays in my mind of people that are kind. Of someone that I watch and I see help someone that has fallen and helps them to pick them up. I get this visual idea, and again, I like to think in pictures, but I get this visual idea of just a fresh breath of air. I mean, where was I? I was in some place that it was on our trip. In our trip to Saratoga, we were in some store. Some store that had some heavy, heavy smells. And it was just, you just couldn't wait to get outside. It was like, whew, ah, nice. It's refreshing. You know what? God's word is heavy at times, right? It'll punch us. It'll get our attention. Put these things away. But you know what? It also says, you know what? Be kind. Be ye kind one to another. Now let me talk to you a little bit about that word kindness. Because, you know, kindness we can define in several different ways, but this word specifically has the idea of being useful. I thought that was a very interesting word choice that God put here. Be you useful, good and helpful to one another. Let me ask you this, is bitterness good and useful and helpful? Anger, evil speaking? No. You know what? God wants us as individuals to be kind and useful, profitable unto the body. Remember, the context here is the church and the one another. It says unto one another, that's you and me together. And we are to be kind one to another. What else does it say? It says tenderhearted. Tenderhearted. Now, come on, you got to smile when you hear stuff like this. I think this is precious stuff, because so much of our world is the anger and the bitterness and the evil. I mean, I'm sure you've watched a movie or watched television, and at the end of it, you're just, whoa. And it's refreshing to watch something that breathes life and shows kindness and tenderheartedness. I mean, how often are you able to watch a news program and they actually give a good story? And it's refreshing, isn't it? A story that shows grace and kindness. Tenderheartedness, compassion. That's a word that I believe describes this well. Compassion. Are you compassionate? Are you compassionate to your loved ones? Are you compassionate to your church? Are you known as a person of kindness and compassion? What would your spouse say? What would your children say? What would your boss say? Are you a person who is kind? Are you a person who is tender-hearted and compassionate. Now, all of this comes with the motivation of what? You are to do this, or you can do this. Why? The text tells us, be you kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Now, I didn't talk about forgiveness yet. And the reason is because I want you to notice something here. The motivation behind this is God's forgiveness of you. Can you smile on that one? Is that not precious truth? I think one of the things that one of the reasons we may struggle with some of these things, the bitterness, the anger, the evil speaking, the forgiving, is sometimes I think we lose sight of what God has done for us. We lose perspective. Our life becomes bigger than what it should be. And our God becomes smaller than what He is. This word for forgiveness in this text, it's not your typical word forgive, where it talks about remove or put away from you, or to lose. This is a word that at its very root is the word grace. Charissomai. It is a verb form of the noun grace. I believe it's very specific word choice here. Now look at this. What if we read the verse this way? And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, being ones who showed grace, ones who are showing grace unto each other, just as also God in Christ was gracious unto you. You see, at the very root of forgiveness is grace. Grace should bring a smile to our hearts. The first chapter, couple of chapters of this book have been all about God's grace in our lives. The riches of God's grace through Jesus Christ. And how we are saved by grace, Ephesians chapter 2. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. This idea of a gift, this idea of grace. And so we are to be kind and tender-hearted, and we are to be ones who are showing grace unto one another. Grace at its very core is this idea of giving, and it's giving to those who do not deserve it. And the very example of that in the text is Jesus Christ. So let's think about this for a moment. What has Jesus done for you and me? This is an exercise that you need to do if you're struggling with forgiveness. If you're struggling with the idea of showing grace to someone who doesn't deserve it, who's offended you, you know what? If you're struggling with that, if that is a difficult step for you to take, and it very may well be because the pain and the hurt is intense and great, and I don't want to diminish anybody's issues or problems or whatever has happened to you. But the call is clear. We are to be forgiving, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. So if we're struggling to forgive another, then we must be struggling to understand God's forgiveness of ourselves. And so therefore, exercise your mind in a study of what it means to be forgiven by God. Spend some time reading some scriptures on what Jesus Christ did upon the cross. Read through the story of the crucifixion in the Gospels. And realize that Jesus went to the cross and bore all of that pain there for you and for me. Take time to dive into the truth that Jesus Christ has paid the penalty for your sin. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7, it says, in whom we have redemption through his blood. Yes, he shed blood for me. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. You know what? Once you get yourself into the right perspective, the right place of being one who didn't deserve anything from God, you are an enemy of God, but yet he has shown you grace. He has forgiven you. It is an incredible exercise because what it does is it puts you in a place that you are very small and God is very great, and it will help you in dealing with your horizontal issues and problems with other people, because you realize that God had to deal with a lot more than you've had to deal with. I'm not saying forgiveness is easy. It's not. Was it easy for God? Absolutely not. It's not something that is easy, but you know what? It is to be something that characterizes the church of Jesus Christ, who characterizes you and me as individuals. Be forgiving. Be gracious. I want to encourage you, when you read this text, in this passage, that word forgiving, both places, has in its very core grace. And maybe that will be something that will help you to discern and understand forgiveness. Forgiveness is the showing of grace to one. So, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Be you therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. You know, God's word is precious. And yes, God has just unloaded and unleashed these commands and these instructions, these put-offs and these put-ons, but you know what? He's drawn our attention right back to Jesus Christ, right to the cross. Walk in love, brother and sister. Walk in love, Church of Jesus Christ. And you do it as Christ has loved you. Lord, please take what has been spoken and read today. And I pray that it would minister grace unto the hearers. And I pray, Lord, that the church would hear what the Spirit is saying. Have your way, O God. And Lord, I want to specifically pray today for those that are dealing with a bitter heart. God, it is true that hurting people hurt people. And God, you want that cycle to stop. And God, today, would you work in hearts and lives that today would be a day of victory, a day of fresh air in the life and our relationships. God, I pray that you would have your way in our lives as we confront anger, as we confront the way we speak. God, I pray that we would be characterized by as being people of goodness and kindness and compassion. Lord, help us to be forgiving. Help us to be gracious. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for the grace you've shown to me. I praise you, God, for saving souls and like me, a sinner. But you saved me. You've given me life, life now and forever. And God, I didn't do anything for that. But you came and you died for me. And graciously, Lord, you have shown me the truth. And I believe. Oh, confirm in hearts today this truth, in Jesus' name.